Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sky's the Limit Radio, your inspiration station with coaches Wendy, Krista, and Shermin. Our goal is to search out and share with you the latest news about how to become and stay empowered to make the most transformative lifestyle or business building choices. For 30 minutes, each Monday at 12 noon U.S. Eastern Time, you will have the opportunity to hear inspiring interviews with coaches specializing in a variety of life-transforming areas. It is our intent to provide you a once-a-week break of inspiration to carry you throughout your week. Your co-hosts are Wendy, who is a business transformation coach, Krista, who is a healthy lifestyle coach, and Shermin, who is a success coach. It is important to know that all of the concepts and information presented during any of our shows are for educational purposes only. They are not intended to guarantee results of any kind. Please consult with professionals before embarking on any lifestyle or business-related changes. Again, welcome to Sky's the Limit Radio, your inspiration station. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another week's episode of Sky's the Limit Radio. This is Shermin, one of your co-hosts, and I'm here today with our other two co-hosts, Wendy and Krista. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Shermin. This is Wendy, and glad to be here with you today.
And this is Krista. Hello, ladies, and a warm welcome to all our listeners out there. We are delighted to have Karen Rutter once again as a guest on our show today, all the way from the UK. Karen is a business coach who specializes in helping other coaches to grow successful businesses, especially online. She's also the founder of the Business Success Zone for Coaches, where her clients can get all of the training, coaching, and the resources they need to help them build and grow a profitable business so that they can have a bigger impact and have more free time.
Many coaches are passionate about wanting to serve, but they struggle with the business aspect. It's not enough to be a great coach. In order to make the difference that we are here to make, we must also learn how to build our business and market ourselves. Karen helps coaches find the right balance between business model, marketing, and their mindset.
And Karen is no stranger to Sky's the Limit Radio. We have the great pleasure of having her on the show on two previous occasions. The first time we talked about the right business success mindset for women, and during her second show, Karen told us how we can recognize behavior patterns that get in the way of our success and how to dismantle old beliefs and make space for new ones. If you missed these shows, which, by the way, aired again during the past 2 weeks, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/skies the limit, where all our past shows are archived, and you can listen to them on demand. Today, Karen will talk to us about how to fill the void left after we dismantled our old limiting beliefs with more empowering beliefs so that we can consciously take control and confidently put ourselves in the driver's seat. The title of our show today, appropriately named, is Action Kills Fear, which is a great title. Can't wait to get into that topic. So welcome back to Sky's the Limit Radio, Karen. It's so good to have you back on our show again today.
Hello, ladies, and thank you for inviting me back again. I do look forward to our little chats, actually. Yeah, it's always good to share with you.
Yes, it's fantastic, and thank you for being with us all the way from the UK. That's wonderful. So we'll jump right in. Krista?
Yes, so thank you, Karen. It's always such a great pleasure to have you on our show.
So thank you.
You're welcome. So let's jump right in and continue where we left off the last time. Last time we talked about how to dismantle old beliefs and make space for new ones. So what's the next step now?
Well, yes, as we've just been saying, it is really a case of we need to fill the void that was left behind by taking away those old beliefs. Because as we know, in nature, as in anything else, you know, the void is not the desired situation. And if we don't work on replacing the old beliefs in a conscious way, then they just keep coming back at us. And so when we look at dismantling the old ones, we need to think about, well, what is it that I want to replace this with? And I think we talked a little bit last time, you know, about getting in line with what our mission is, what we're here to do, and the results that we want. And so for every limiting belief that we dismantle, we have to think, well, what would be a more empowering one? What is a better one that I want to create here? What would serve me better? What would serve my mission better? And that's what we want to be looking at, what's more empowering for us. Because as I say, if we don't try to create those new ones, then the space that we've created has to be filled with something. And if we don't create new, deliberately create ones that we want to have, then the old ones keep coming back at us. And we find that we've got this constant internal battle going on. So, yeah, for me, it's very much a case of, you know, we need to find the most powerful way that we can to start replacing those old beliefs.
And to align, like you said, align those with our mission that we have for ourselves in our life.
That's right.
That's very important.
It is indeed, yes. Yeah.
So Wendy, do you have another question?
I do. So, Karen, what do you think is the most powerful way to install the new beliefs and the behavior patterns? And is it actually, when you replace the new beliefs, is it actually getting rid of the old ones? Or would the new ones totally dismantle the old ones? Or would you have the old ones and new ones sort of at the same time, and then eventually the old ones would go away, if that makes any sense?
Okay. I think so.
I can sort of see that happening.
Magic wand being waved here. No, this is really where we start to look at how action can kill your old fears and beliefs, and how really it's action that helps to replace it. Because, you know, in a perfect world, we just wave that magic wand, Wendy, and the old beliefs will be gone, and we can pick the new beliefs that we want to replace them with.
Okay.
And, you know, in the snap of a finger, it's all done. But in reality, it doesn't happen that way, does it? In reality, we might, you know, intellectually, we might do, you know, the exercise that I talked about last time of pulling the legs out from underneath that table to dismantle those old fears and beliefs. And then intellectually, we can think like, right, okay, what do I want to replace those old beliefs with? What's more empowering for me? What will help me to achieve whatever it is that I want to achieve in my life? And we can, you know, we can intellectualize that and think about, well, if I replace that old belief with this one, then that would serve me better. But in practice, you know, we've probably been holding on to those old limiting beliefs for a good many years. We talked about this last time, and it can go right back to childhood. So it isn't going to happen in the flick of a switch, and it isn't going to happen overnight, usually. So this is why I say that I think why I say action kills fear is because it's the difference. Taking action to embed the more empowering beliefs means that you're kind of feeling it in the muscle. It's not just an intellect, or it's not just a thought process. It's something that you come to believe. And I think I've got a little story about something that I've been through, actually, that I think will help to demonstrate this really quite nicely.
Okay.
How do you girls feel about getting up on stage and doing public speaking?
Not my first volunteer activity.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Something to have to overcome.
We got some fears and limiting beliefs going on there. Okay. So, this little story about my change in belief and the way that I managed to use it, that I used action to get over fear, will probably help them. Because I think for a lot of people, public speaking is something, you know, you'd rather stick pins in your own eyes than do it, for a lot of people. And it's true, you know, it's one of those things. People believe it's really scary. There's a lot of fears going on around that, a lot of different fears, you know, like, will it be good enough, what will people think of them, that kind of thing. So I wanted to take you back quite a few years here to when I think I was either late 20s or early 30s, and I was working for a big national company. And my boss, we had a convention, as we did, once or twice a year. And my boss asked me if I would do a presentation to my colleagues at this convention. Now, at the time, I wasn't unduly nervous about it, I didn't think, because the topic that he asked me to talk about was the one that I knew inside out. I really got it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, I was a wee bit nervous about this, but we'll give it a go here. So, you know, the time came, I went to the convention, and we're all sat in the hall, and the previous speakers were on before me. And I could feel it. You know, I was talking to you last time about when you know when something's triggering you. I could feel sort of all of a sudden my palms were sweating. And my stomach was kind of doing somersaults inside me. And this was kind of building up and building up and building up in me as I was listening to the previous speakers. Because all of my then limiting beliefs and fears were starting to raise their ugly head. And I'm listening to them and thinking, like, oh, gosh, they're so much better than I'm going to be.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, he is so slick. He is so good. Oh, ah. And it was all building up inside me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got to the point where it was actually my turn. And as I made my way up to the stage, I could feel my legs wobbling. And it wasn't just my palms that were sweaty now. It was all of me. You know, it was like, it was all of the physical triggers were coming up here.
Mm.
And I got up onto the stage, and the very worst thing that could have happened, happened.
Oh, no.
I froze. I completely and utterly froze. I couldn't speak at all. Everything that I had planned on saying was gone from my mind.
Oh,
I couldn't get a single word out. And I stood there for it seemed like an eternity, girl, to me, you can imagine, where I was just sort of standing looking at the audience like a little rabbit in the headlights of a car, you know, just absolutely terrified and unable to deliver the presentation.
Oh, what happened?
It really was worst case scenario. So after a couple of minutes of this, my boss obviously realized that nothing was going to come out of my mouth. So he actually just said, okay, thank you, Karen, you can sit down now. And I just got out of that conference hall as fast as I possibly could.
Wow.
Really. That was absolutely the worst case scenario. And so every little bit of limiting belief and fear that I had through trying to do it was actually proved right. That's not the end of the story, ladies. I swore, as you can imagine, that I was never, ever, 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 ever going to even attempt public speaking ever again. You can imagine. You would, wouldn't you, after an experience like that?
Yeah.
To be honest, for about 15 years, I didn't. I avoided it like the plague. There was no way I was putting myself through that again. And this is where we start to look at how action can kill, both create fear and kill it. Because after that experience, I could have tried to dismantle my belief that public speaking was terrifying and that I was no good at it. I could have tried to intellectually dismantle that for the rest of my days. But I probably never would have, because I had felt it physically. Okay. The other side of this, of course, is that after about 15 years, I don't know, it must have been about 7 or 8 years ago, a good friend of mine who was actually at the time president of the Public Speakers Association here in the UK kind of took me to one side and said, look, Karen, enough of this. You know you've got a message to share. You know it will be good for your business. It's time to get past this. And I was like, no. I can't do that. Please don't make me. I can't do it. But anyway, cut a long story short, he did persuade me. And he also gave me a lot of help and support in, you know, helping me to formulate my presentation, giving me some hints and tips about how to do it properly, giving me a couple of funny little things that I could do that would help to settle my nerves and things. And eventually the day came where I was once again stood up in front of a room full of people to deliver a presentation. And so this time, the same triggers were happening. My palms were sweating, my legs were shaking, my stomach was going in somersaults. But I actually managed to get through the presentation that I intended to deliver.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah, I got through it. And it wasn't the most professional of presentations. It wasn't the best ever delivered, but it got, you know, I got a round of applause at the end of it. I didn't have people sort of sitting with their mouths hanging open wondering what happened like they had the first time I tried it.
Wow.
So, yeah. So in taking that action and in being prepared to put myself through it again, I dismantled some of the beliefs that I've been carrying then for at least 15 years, that public speaking was something horrible, that I wasn't any good at, that I was never going to be any good at, and that I would never do again. If I had just tried to talk myself out of it or think my way out of it, I probably never would have. It was only by actually doing it again mm-hmm. that I actually got to feel, well, do you know, actually, it's not so very bad. And I can do this. Because at the end of the day, you know, I didn't die from the first result. I felt like it. But I actually physically, you know, nothing physically bad happened to me, really. And after I got over the embarrassment, you know, a lot of my colleagues at that first awful experience were really quite kind to me. They weren't judging me as badly as I thought they would, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, after I did that public speaking for that second time, and it wasn't so bad. I then did it again and again and again. Until now, actually, I really quite enjoy being on stage in front of a group of people that I can serve. I can have some fun with it. And I think this is a perfect example of how actually doing it helps to replace limiting beliefs with much more empowering ones. Because my beliefs now around public speaking are not that it's a terrible, scary, horrible thing, but that it's actually a fabulous way for me to connect with the people that I want to connect with and the people that I want to serve.
What a great story.
Yeah.
It's really relevant because tomorrow I'm speaking in front of a group of people at a Rotary Club, so this is very helpful for me. Thank you. Very helpful. Oh gosh, that was great. What a story and what an experience you had to go through the first time. Oh, wow.
You'll be thinking about that tomorrow, Wendy. So you're like, no, I can say one word, and then once you start, you get the momentum going.
Yeah, that's what that's a good idea. Sherman,
yeah.
You have a question too here.
Yeah, I was wondering, Karen, what did that person say to you to convince you to give it another try after 15 years?
I think it was, he was a friend, and I had a degree of trust in him. And
Okay. Also,
he had some very convincing arguments, you know, as to why I needed to do it, both on a professional level and on a personal level. You know, we're talking here about how, and we have been throughout the series of these conversations, ladies, you know, about how our limiting beliefs can hold us back, how they can stop us from doing what we're here to do. And I think of the conversation that Peter and I had was very much a one around, you know, it's not just you that you're affecting here, Karen. It's not just your own self-confidence, your own self-esteem. It's all of those people who you know you need to reach. Because, you know, whether you're doing public speaking on a stage, whether it's, you know, whether I know through our business as ladies, you know, we need to do it through webinars and teleseminars, etc. And, you know, the use of video now to connect with our audience is getting bigger and bigger. So and we can't serve people unless we can connect with them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
So
no, they won't hear your message.
Exactly. And so, you know, it was kind of like he was telling me that I had to do it for my own sake. Because, you know, this was a very limiting belief that I was holding, and it was an experience that I was holding on to that was not good for me. The holding on to it, not the experience itself, that was just an experience. The holding on to that experience and all of the feelings and fear that went with it was not good for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it was definitely not good for business and for my mission.
Right. So do you think that's why action is so powerful? Because it interrupts the holding on to the belief and allows you to generate another belief?
It is. But also because it's the experience of it. And like I've been saying, you know, we can visualize, we can intellectualize, we can think about dismantling those beliefs. But it's our experience that we rely on more than anything else for our belief system. So it was the experience. Before I had that bad experience of public speaking, I wasn't particularly afraid of public speaking. It was the bad experience that made me afraid of it.
That created a belief for you, or reinforced a belief, yes.
Yeah,
and
it was the
experience. Created the opposite. Great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is what we talk about when you talk about feeling it in the muscle. You know, it's you've had the experience of it for yourself. You're not relying on somebody else telling you, or just hoping that, you know, you can install intellectually a limiting belief. You're actually feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
You have
everything
that goes with it.
I wonder if you would have had a different experience if there weren't speakers ahead of you that you were listening to and comparing yourself to. If it had just been you speaking, it would have been a different, if you'd had a different outcome.
It might well have been, yeah, it might have been, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that brings up the subject that, like, okay, what are the beliefs and fears that I have going on that I was comparing myself to the other speakers? You know, it's...
You had too
right.
much time to think about it, I think, yeah. You had too much time to be in your head about it instead of just acting, and you couldn't act right away. You had to listen to all these other people.
Yeah.
And I know Krista has another question about that as well. Krista?
Yeah, I just love that story. Karen, I certainly can empathize with this. But you may be comforted to know that I've once witnessed the situation that was even worse than yours. When I was in college, I remember I was taking a class one time and we had to get up and give presentation. And the young lady got up and she opened her mouth and no word came out. And she just fell over. She passed, literally passed out from fear. That is something that was even worse than your story.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I just at least managed to walk off the stage.
Yes, right.
It can always get worse.
It's a very, very common fear that people have of public speaking. And I like your analogy about to the muscles, the training the muscles. The more we use them, the stronger they become. And taking action is similar to that. You just have to keep doing it and doing it until you replace your limiting beliefs with more positive ones.
Yeah.
From experience.
That's
really great. So now once you have started to get into action and change your limiting beliefs, how can we now maintain this momentum? Do you have any suggestions for us for that?
Yeah. I mean, it's all about your daily activities. You know, this isn't, I didn't overcome my fear of public speaking on that one occasion. It was a big step towards it, but it wasn't the complete thing. You know, it was only by repeating it and repeating it that I got to be as comfortable as I am now, to the point where I quite enjoy it. And so it's in your daily actions. So, you know, it doesn't have to go public speaking. I know that's a big thing for a lot of people, but it could just be a little thing that, you know, it, if you are really nervous about things like this, then putting it into the business perspective, you know, maybe you could just do a 1 minute little video tomorrow to connect with your people on social media. And that would be the first step to trying to get you past, if that's what you're afraid of. Just do something small. And then from that, you'll gain a little bit of confidence. And then maybe the day after, do something just a little bit bigger that stretches you just a little bit more, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more. And it's all in making sure that you're taking some action on a daily basis, I think, that is reinforcing the positive new beliefs every time. And because what happens is when you have one little victory, it builds your confidence. And you can then think like, oh, right, that wasn't so bad. Okay, maybe I can take the next step too. And you take the next step and your confidence builds a little bit more. And so it goes on. And so you do, you get that momentum going. And as your confidence increases, you find you can do more and more until suddenly the big scary thing isn't so scary and you can do that too. And that's where you start to get breakthroughs. And of course, once you start to get that confidence building and the breakthroughs, then, you know, you start to see like, well, oh, actually, where else have I been holding myself because of this belief or this fear? And it's daily action around what your limiting beliefs are and where, how you want to change them will help to get that in the muscle even firmer and to build the momentum that you're looking for. So it's about being conscious on a daily basis. We've talked about this last time, about being consciously in control and thinking like, okay, if this is my limiting belief that I want to get rid of, this is the one that I want, the empowering belief that I want to replace, what small action can I take today that will help to install that empowering belief? And also, you know, to acknowledge on a daily basis the progress that you're making. I think we're all too keen to beat ourselves up on a regular basis for the things that we're not doing and the things that are not serving us without being prepared to acknowledge ourselves for those little victories. You know, it doesn't have to be a case of something as major as one day being terrified of being speaking in front of 3 or 4 people to the next day being on a stage in front of 100. You know, it can be just like, well, I got up in front of a small group, or, you know, even just on a social level, you know, if you're not socially very confident, going to that meeting, going to a party, speaking to somebody. Little baby steps need to be acknowledged on a daily basis so that you can track your progress through it and, you know, internalize the changes in your belief system.
Mm-hmm. That is really so excellent. I think we're almost running out of time, though, so I don't mean to interrupt, but I think Wendy wanted to ask about your program. Wendy?
Yes, I just wanted to know what your latest programs that you're doing right now, or anything you wanted to share to our listeners, and just a way that they can get a hold of you.
Okay, well, I've got lots of free, there's lots of articles on my blog at karenrutter.com that people can get access to. And during April, I'm actually going to be launching a new program that it's all about getting a business breakthrough. So it's a program I'm going to be running live with live calls that will really help people to identify what it is that they need to do to get the breakthrough in their business and to get into action and to get moving on things. So if anybody would be interested in that, then, you know, they can go up to my website, help themselves to the articles and resources that are there. But also if you sign up to my weekly newsletter, then you'll get here immediately when that program is available.
Excellent. Is it like 4 weeks, or how long does it go for?
It's the first time I've run it, so I'm planning on doing it over 6 weeks. But I'm going to be doing it live because I think when it comes to finding people's breakthrough point, it needs to be live. It's not, you know, it's not something that I can pre-record really, because it will be very much driven by the ladies who sign up to get onto the program, and we'll be doing live Q&A calls on it so that I can really help people to find their own breakthrough and get past it. So
excellent.
It'll be six weekly live calls.
KarenRutter.com.
That'd be great.
KarenRutter.com.
Yeah.
We'll make sure to
yeah.
put that on our Facebook page. And
yeah,
I'm
for
so
sure.
sorry to say we're already out of time. We just really
already?
Hope you'll come back regularly, Karen. This is your third time already. Hopefully you'll come back soon again. We've really enjoyed this interview. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you for having me. It's been my pleasure.
Absolutely. Yeah. And thank you, our audience, for tuning in again today to Sky's the Limit Radio. We appreciate you for listening and following us and hope you enjoyed our show today again as much as we have. As always, the best way to get more information about upcoming shows is to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Sky's the Limit Radio. Please feel free to share your thoughts, comments, and feedback on our Facebook page or visit us at our website at skysthelimitradio.com to stay up to date on all the good stuff we have coming up for you and also to get our Sky's the Limit Inspiration Kit. To listen to past recordings of past shows, go to blogtalkradio.com/Sky's the Limit. You never know, you might discover that one episode that could make a difference in your life. Until next time, everyone, and remember, the sky's the limit to what you can do. Have a great week, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye,
thanks, Karen.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.